Well, I'm going to revisit something that we've touched on before and probably will again, but it has to do with our day-to-day walk. We are constantly in change. As much as we want to try to freeze frame a certain time in our lives when everything is going our way and well or easy, the sky is blue, the birds are singing, we just want to stay right there and camp out but nothing ever remains the same. We're constantly in a process of change. But the change is good and change is necessary for growth. If you don't change, you're not growing. So God doesn't allow us to get too comfortable for too long. And if we don't remove certain things, then he will, you know. But the wilderness is important, and we need to understand it. Many things happen in this barren, dry place or this place where it doesn't seem to be any comfort or stimulation. My wife and I, you know, talk a lot about sometimes, you know, how we want to be comfortable, don't we? And we're constantly looking for comfort. But sometimes the worst thing for us is being too comfortable. Because too comfortable sometimes means complacency. And complacency leads to flat-out apathy. And then we end up back in bondage again. And then we have to go back and get plugged in again and get recalibrated, get straightened out, come back to life, come back to, you know, spiritual vitality and revival, we call it, returning to life, revive. But then if we're not careful, and once we get into the place where things start to happen well, things are prospering in our lives, we have a tendency to wander. Our hearts do. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us, don't we? And we need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And we need the wilderness at times. We need to go to those places where we can't do anything else except trust God now. And we'll find ourselves in places we've never been before. Even as Israel wandered through, they are constantly coming upon new places and new experiences along the way. But the thing is this, folks, is that the wilderness is not something that we should avoid, but we should understand. We need to understand the value of it. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt.'" Exodus 3:17, "And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey." Verse 18, "Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and you shall say to him, 'The Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God.'" So when they were released by Pharaoh, they ended up in a place that was barren. No water and food. Now, they had their liberty, they had their freedom, but they found themselves in a place of barrenness. And there was a purpose for that. And they had to understand why. And not try to avoid it. Because sometimes, again, we're trying to even rebuke our ways out of situations. We're trying to run from situations. We're trying to find the easiest path, you know. And sometimes God's will takes you to a difficult place. Amen? But in order for that process to be worked out in your life of maturing, we've got to embrace the cross. We've got to be willing to say yes to God's leading in our lives, and understand that when things happen that we don't understand, things that may not be fair or seem to make sense to us, we need to know that God is on the throne of our lives, that God has us in the very palm of his hand, that God's not caught off, you know, off guard. He's not up there saying, "Whoops, I didn't realize that was going on with you. How did I miss that?" Sometimes we wonder if God's missed it, you know. Have you ever felt that way? God, are you even, do you even see what's happening to me? Are you paying attention? And then those times when the Lord is silent too. You know, and that's when he's saying, remember your training. Remember what I told you. If you don't have a word for right now, go back to your last word and don't do anything else besides that. Just get back to what he told you to do last. Sometimes we've veered off because we got impatient and we didn't want to wait on God's time. Even though we only had one instruction, we get impatient in the process. And so because we don't hear from God, we just start grasping for straws. We start groping in the night and trying this and trying that. And we get into panic. And whenever we get into panic mode, we're no longer in rest. And when we're no longer in rest, we start making mistakes there. Isn't it true? We start making hasty decisions that weren't thought out and prayed through. And then we find ourselves in a situation, and then God gets blamed, but actually it's not his fault. We weren't listening. The wilderness is a place where God teaches us to hear his voice. And he brings you to a place where you're stripped from a lot of the things that you once could confide in or trust in or found comfort in. And now you're in a place that you've never been before, but this is the place where growth is going to take place in your life if you will trust the Lord in it and be patient in the process and know that God is working things together just like he promised for our good. All things will work together for our good. Even the bad things that have happened in your past, God can turn that around. He can redeem it and use it for something good in the future. Hallelujah. That's what he does. He's a God of redemption. But the Israelites would learn sacrifice, and they learned true worship in the wilderness. And it was in the wilderness that the miraculous power of God began to be shown. Supernatural people walk on a path that natural people can't follow. You see, we pray in God, I want to move in the miraculous, or I want more faith. Ever pray for more faith? Yeah. When you pray for faith, well, in order for you to get more faith, you have to be tested in where you're at. And you have to learn how to rely upon the Lord in that situation and overcome it. And each time that you overcome something in your life, you've made a step forward. You've gone from glory to glory, from faith to faith. So now it's a thing that was, it's no longer. But the next time you're faced with something that is similar or equal to that, it's small potatoes to you. But at the time of the test, it seems like this insurmountable, this huge deal that you're facing right now. But you're learning how to lean on Jesus through these things. You're learning his voice. You're learning of his faithfulness. You're learning God's ways. You're actually being weaned off your ways. Because unless we're done with our ways, we can't walk in his ways. And if you want to walk in the supernatural, then you're going to have to follow his way. And he'll take you to places where you've never been, places where you're going to be stretched in your faith to believe beyond what you can see with your natural eyes or understand even with your natural reasoning. Sometimes all we can say is, God, I don't know, I don't understand, but I trust you anyways. Because if I don't have the answers, if I don't know the answer, I still trust his heart because I know God's heart is good. And see, God wants us to know his heart, not just the word or the letter of the word, the letter of the law, but he wants us to know the heart of the law. He wants us to know his heart. And we can't know that except through these trials and these times of testing that we go through. Anytime there's a test, it's for the purpose of what? Growth or promotion, right? Yeah, to go on. Okay. If we avoid the wilderness, we will never know the supernatural pathways of God. You see, the enemy will offer you alternative routes. He'll also give you ways out of what you're going through sometimes that may not be God's way. There may be a situation that you're facing right now. You might have to work alongside somebody, for example, that you don't really care for, or somebody that irritates you. You may have to live next door to somebody that irritates you. But guess what? You can remove yourself if you wish, because the enemy sometimes will allow you to get out of that situation. You know, even, for example, in church, God may assign you to a certain fellowship, and there's going to be some lessons you'll learn in that fellowship with the people that you encounter in that fellowship. But if you want, you can always reassign yourself. Well, I don't like what they did. I'm going over here. That's kind of like a soldier that says, I don't like this unit. I want to join the infantry. You know, I don't like artillery. So I'm going to reassign myself. Well, that's ridiculous. You don't do that. Why? Your orders are not from you. They come from above, from your superiors. They're the ones that cut your orders and say, this is where your next assignment is. So if you try to pull yourself out of where you're at prematurely, guess what? God will just have to reassign you again until you learn the lessons that you need to learn at the last assignment. If you don't learn it there, you're going to have to relive it in the next situation. So until you learn that you can't run away from your problems. You have to confront them. You have to face them. You have to overcome the world. You can't escape the world. You have to overcome it. Come on, we want to escape. We want to get stoned, or we want to get drunk, or we want to, you know, lose ourselves in entertainment or whatever it is, because we don't want to face the reality of life. But you cannot escape reality. You have to face it and overcome it. And you can't apart from the grace of God. And so the wilderness puts you in a place where you must depend upon God's grace, God's ability to give you victory over that situation. From one step to the next. Jesus himself, he withdrew himself into the wilderness. Now we know that when he was baptized, the Spirit did what? Drove him into the wilderness to be tempted. That was God's program. Now Jesus said, I don't know about this wilderness stuff. I think I'm going to hang out here in Jerusalem. You know, it's a little nicer situation for me. You know, the enemy even offered Jesus alternatives, didn't he, to his suffering and to the assignment that he was in for the purpose of developing not only his character within, but also to be tested and tempted in every way like we were, yet without sin. As Adam had failed, so Jesus overcame. And so the Holy Spirit drew Jesus into the wilderness. And we cannot reassign ourselves. We need to embrace whatever God calls us to. There's times when I've wanted to get out of situations so bad. And in some cases, God just would absolutely not allow me to. I wouldn't even have any alternatives to being in that situation, because he wants to develop me in my character. See, who we are on the inside is who we're going to be for eternity. We can put all the paint on and make ourselves look great on the outside, but God's looking at the heart, and he's making us beautiful on the inside. And so he has to wean us off the things that would corrupt us, that would defile us, that would draw us away from him, that would draw us after other lovers and other passions that could rob us of our relationship with him. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want us having other lovers, and for a good reason. Why? Because he loves us that much. He knows that these other things will destroy us. David learned reliance upon God in the wilderness. David learned how to use the weapons of his warfare. Where? In the wilderness. He had to tackle the lion and the bear, didn't he? He had to kill the lion and the bear. He had to learn how to use his weapons there before he would face Goliath, the giant. So the wilderness was part of his training ground. He probably could have said, I don't know if I like waiting out here in the wilderness. I think I'm just going to go find a way to promote myself. People do that in the church. They try to promote themselves, you know, or give themselves a title or a position. Or I'll just go to Bible college and I'll become a pastor. And, you know, they have no experience in life, but they want to immediately go right into the pulpit. They don't want to have to go through the process of being developed in their character, so that when they get into that place, they're going to be able to stand up and not fall. Are you hearing me? So whatever God is calling us to do, he wants to first condition our character so that we can bear up under the pressures that will come with the responsibility. Amen? So the things that happen to us, even the bad things, they're there to prepare us for what's coming. How many would agree with that? Say amen to that. How many would agree that that's a fun place to be? So Jesus' ministry didn't begin at the baptism, but after the wilderness. After he was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted of the devil, amen, and he was fasting, and he was in a barren land, and it was after that time, it says that he came out in the power of the Spirit. And that's when he went into the temple and he read from Isaiah. How the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. But at first, he had to go into the wilderness. Now, Jesus told us once again, unless we deny ourselves, we cannot be his followers. Because those who rely on just their own strength can't go where God wants to put us or to lead us. Are you hearing me? We cannot go forward unless we are willing to allow that process to take place in our lives that God is bringing us through. To embrace it, even though you don't understand it, but to know God is working in your life. How many would agree, and you'd look back in your life and say, there's so many times that I've gone through things, I've gone through experiences. I hated them at the time. I didn't understand it at the time. It was very difficult. I didn't know if I was even going to survive it. But then I look back now and I say, wow, I see how God had brought me through that. Remember the old song, we've come this far by faith, trusting in the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He hasn't failed me yet. I think it's an Andre Crouch song. But God hasn't failed us. Moses had to spend time in the wilderness to be conditioned for his task ahead. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness. He came out with a very powerful message of repentance, and he delivered that in the power of the Spirit. So there was preparation going on in that place of the wilderness where he was learning God. He was learning God's voice. He was getting revelation of who God truly was. So these places we find ourselves are actually part of the process. And you know, folks, sometimes the more difficult the trial, the greater the promotion. So be encouraged. If you're really going through some stuff, you know, it just means that God has something good for you up ahead. Even when I go through this stuff, often it's really petty, you know, that I go through. But, I mean, I have my days, I have my moments, I have issues, you know, with people sometimes. Yeah, believe it or not, but... You know, I've learned something that whenever I'm really going through stuff and stuff starts to hit me from every angle, that I know that something good is about to happen. It's a sign something good is about to happen. Why? Because I belong to the Lord and the Lord is on my side and the Lord is with me. Once again, I'm in the palm of his hand. It's not beyond his notice. He knows exactly what's going on and he's looking at my attitude. He's looking at how I respond to it. He's looking at how I'm going to treat others when I'm treated unfairly. He's looking at whether I'm going to bless the person who curses me, pray for the person who despitefully uses me and persecutes me. He's looking at those things. He says, oh, I know what they've done, but I'm looking at you. What are you going to do about it? Now, there's somebody I can trust. Why? Because they believe my word. And they're willing to do what I said to do, even when it went against their natural reasoning, their natural understanding. Sometimes God's ways, in fact, to our natural mind, they don't make sense often. They're higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So God will bring us through situations that mess with our minds. Am I right? So that we wouldn't trust in our own understanding. But we would trust the heart of God. We've all misunderstood one another. We've had situations where we've had misunderstandings. And often all it was is it was just that. It was a misunderstanding. I've written texts before. You know, I like to send out texts. But I know sometimes, and I just do general texts, okay? I do a text and I say, okay, this is a text for the day. And out they go. And everybody's going through a different situation in their life. And for some people, it says, man, that was the word I needed to hear. And other people are just silent. You know, it's kind of like, what did you mean by that? You see, sometimes when we just simply use a letter, we're not getting the heart of that letter. We're just getting the letter. And that's open to personal interpretation then. You know what I'm talking about? Ever wrote somebody a letter or sent them a text and you meant this, but when they looked at it, they read something because they didn't get the heart or the emotion behind that. And it was misunderstood. It's easy to happen. So what do we do when that happens, see? What happens is, I've had people write to me, and it's like times I'm going through something, you know, and they'll send me something. And it's just like a knife sometimes. Boom! You ever get that? It's like, oh. What are you, spying on me or picking on me? You know, or what did you mean by that? And old Slewfoot, that devil, comes along and says, well, they really meant that. He likes to get us paranoid against one another, right? Oh, he looked at me funny. There must be something going on. Yeah. Just a funny face, yeah. Can't help that. But listen in Luke 5 and verse 15. However, the good report went around concerning Jesus all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So here Jesus is thronged with people that needed ministry. They were being healed by him. And then what did he do in verse 16? So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Sometimes we've got to shut it all off. We just got to, you know, we can get so busy and so of doing the Martha thing, the Martha's madness, running around. Busy, 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 busy. We need to do the Mary thing. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and was ministered to by Jesus. And we need to get recalibrated. We need to get refreshed. We need to shut down and decide, is this something I really need to deal with right now? Because as soon as you decide that, you know what, I'm going to take some time out and I'm just going to get alone with God and we're going to have some time together, I'm going to get recalibrated, the phone will ring. Something will come up. So we've got to make a decision like Jesus just to withdraw ourselves and go into the wilderness or whatever you can find as for a wilderness, a place to get away. And sometimes I really struggle with this because I'm kind of a driven person. And I have to settle down. And there's just times when I'm just going to not going to respond, you know, because I've got to be praying and I've got to be focusing in on the Lord and I've got to hear his voice. His voice is absolutely essential. I have to hear the voice of God. It's life to me. If I'm not hearing him, I'm not walking in faith. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now in Leviticus 16 and verse 21, this is talking about the high priest and Aaron in particular. But sin is dealt with in the wilderness. This talks about the scapegoat, which is a type of Christ. Jesus was our scapegoat. You've all heard that statement used, right? Well, they used you for a scapegoat. Yeah. Well, Jesus was our scapegoat. See, he didn't deserve what he did. What they did to Jesus. But it was a result of our sin that he had to go to the cross and become our scapegoat. So this is the type of it here in Leviticus 16:21, or the shadow. He will lay both of his hands on the goat's head and confess over it all the wickedness, rebellion, and sins of the people of Israel. In this way, he will transfer the people's sins to the head of the goat. Then a man specially chosen for the task will drive the goat into the wilderness. Sin is dealt with in the wilderness. As the goat goes into the wilderness, it will carry all the people's sins upon itself into a desolate land. Leviticus 16:22. So it's in the wilderness where the Lord begins to deal with the issues of our hearts. It's when we find ourselves in under the pressure of things, or we find ourselves in places we've never been, places that don't we can't understand, and where all of a sudden we're going to be tested in whether we really trust God or not, as to whether we do trust Him or not. Isn't it true? Because we can all talk about it, sing about it, shout about it, but when you're in it, when you're in the test, it's a different story. Am I going to overcome, or am I going to succumb to it? And by the grace of God, if we're listening, God always has a way out. He always has a way of escape. Even a temptation, if you're tempted, God always makes a way of escape so you can bear up under it. You can't say, well, the devil made me do it. I couldn't help myself. Yes, you could, because God gives grace. But God wants to see if you love Him more than you do your sin. Because you're not ready for Jesus until you're through with your sin, until you repent. God wants to find out if we love Him more than we do our family, whether we love Him more than our boyfriend, our girlfriend, or whoever else, even our own lives. Do we love Jesus more than our own lives? Are we willing to do whatever He tells us to do, go wherever He sends us, even if it's a hostile place? Do we love Jesus more than we even love our own selves? Is Jesus worth me giving everything up for Him? The wilderness is important because the wilderness is where we become strong. Amen? If we're not tested, if we don't go through stuff, we can't become anybody. You won't be anybody unless you go through something. People who are strong are people who have gone through stuff in life and overcome. Whenever I got into trouble before, whenever I was in a bad spot, I got drunk or I got stoned. You know, I looked for a cheap escape, a way out to feel better, because I didn't want to face it. And as a result, I was never getting strong. I was getting weaker because I was looking for my own way out. And I wasn't turning to God for His grace and His power, His ability to make me strong and to overcome it. So I just tried to escape it. Strong people are people who face their problems and overcome them by the grace of God. And the more that you do that, and the more that you say yes to God in that situation and no to yourself, the stronger you become. And then when you're faced with a similar thing in the future, guess what? It's a piece of cake. It's nothing. People have commented and said how patient I am as a person. Do you know that is so not like me? Folks, I can't boast about that. I have to give God the credit because that is so unlike me. I'm one of these guys that had a short wick, you know? Fly off of just the smallest thing would set me off. Had a bad temper. And now God has given me such grace and such an ability to be patient and to just overlook stuff and to let stuff go that I couldn't possibly have done that on myself. In my own strength and my own courage, my own wisdom. So God is developing His people because God wants us actually to be prepared now during this time of our lives for the future. He's actually preparing us for eternity. He wants people that He can trust to be in His army. Amen. To be in His kingdom. If you want to reign with Christ, you're going to have to suffer. Now, suffering what? Suffering means many things, but it means me denying myself the right to get even, to be right sometimes, to do what my flesh wants to do so badly. And you have to suffer in the sense that you have to deny that part of you that wants to do this thing that you know is evil. And the more that you do, and the more that you say yes to Him and no to self, the stronger you become. And then you find that you have this thing called self-control. Self-control comes by controlling yourself. You develop self-control by controlling yourself. By saying no, amen, to those addictions. They're still going to come back and nag at you. But you say, no, I'm determined. I'm not doing that. We're not going there. And you become stronger as you resist evil. David's men, they were the mighty men. Remember the mighty men of David? They spent time where? In the wilderness. These guys were rough, tough guys. They spent the time in the wilderness. And that's where we become strong. You know, God, I was thinking this the other day, but God wants us to have the eagle's eye view of things, not the chicken view. The chickens just bebop around the barnyard, right? And they don't see things from the perspective of heaven. They're earthly. But the eagle has a heaven's perspective, if you will. Amen. They soar above and they have a view from above. But if you're waddling down in the barnyard with the chickens, if you hang out with chicken people, yeah, that's it. We got to have God's view of things, God's perspective. And the only way we're going to get our perspective changed is to be taken out of the comfortable, the predictable, and put in a place where we're going to have to learn how to see things His way. Is that making sense? Where you're forced into a situation that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself, but it's actually good for you. And it's given you an opportunity to see God move in your life and do the miraculous. If the just shall live by faith, we are supernatural people because we're not trusting in our power, our wisdom, our cleverness, but we're trusting in God's power, His wisdom. Today, much of the theology in America is about ourselves. How to have it all now. It's even in the church. The same message you get in churches too. The consumerism mentality. Shop till you drop. How can I get the latest and the greatest? I'll camp out overnight so I can get that newest gadget that comes out. You know? I tell you what, folks. I avoid Black Friday like the plague. No thanks. There's nothing I want that badly that I'm going to camp out overnight. I think you need to check your heart if you're going to camp out overnight for a gadget. That's just me. But think about it. The theology is what? Self-help, self-esteem, self-gratification, self. It's all about me. Self-indulgence. We cannot be in this thing for ourselves. So Satan's going to do everything he can in his ability to divert the church from her mission by get us focusing on things that are not important. The color of the carpet, you know, the color of the paint, you know. Folks, I'm all for fellowship. I'm all for potlucks. But how many know the church isn't primarily about potlucks, right? And it certainly isn't about Friday night bingo. I mean, in some cases, the church has gotten so far off mission that it's all about social gatherings and bingo, and they've completely lost Jesus. They've just got a form of godliness, but there's no power. There's no reality to it. There's no substance. And that's why people, they're looking for power in the wrong places, because many churches don't have the authenticity. They don't have the reality of the kingdom. They may talk about it, but there's no practice. There's no reality. You know, God doesn't delight in judging His people, but sometimes He has to. It's the only way to get our attention. And I'm going to finish with this. It's from Hosea chapter 2, verse 13. And this is talking about how the Lord, you know, has to judge His people because they were not listening. They were not repenting. And but then He just doesn't leave them in that place where He punishes. God always, if He's going to punish, it's going to be for the purpose of redeeming, of redemption. So He doesn't kick you to the curb and just leave you there. He will punish you if you're a son, if you're a daughter, because He loves you. And then he will comfort you. Then he will bless you. Once you get into obedience, then his blessings can come on you. Hosea 2:13, I will punish her for all those times she burned incense to her images of Baal or Satan. When she put on her earrings and jewels and went out to look for her lovers, but forget all about me, says the Lord. But then I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. Where? In the wilderness. I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. She will give herself to me there. Where? In the wilderness. As she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from captivity in Egypt. When that day comes, says the Lord, you will call me my husband instead of my master. Do you understand? Now I have not just heard of God in the hearing of my ear. I have just not had another sermon, another tape, another seminar. I'm actually getting to know him personally and intimately in a love relationship where he's now my husband and not my master. Are you hearing me? Yes, he's always our master, but we are married to him. That's the relationship God wants, a love relationship with his creation. Religions of the world are always teaching legalism and laws and rules and do's and don'ts. God wants relationship with people. He wants us to know his heart. Because often we're just living by the letter and we're not knowing the heart of the author. Are you hearing me? I want to go beyond the sacred page to know the heart of God. I want him to be my husband, amen, in the sense that we are in a relationship and not just a master that I work for, but a friend that I walk with. God wants to take us from the servant place of being just a servant to being a friend with him. That's what it's all about. And that happens in the wilderness. Jesus was sent here for one reason, and that is to be given away. He came to give his life. And we were left here also to be given away. If you want to find your life, you have to lose it. You have to give it away. You want to find what real life is? You've got to give your life away. If you try to save it, you lose it. If you live for yourself, you'll lose life. If you live for him and for others, you find life. I don't know about you, but I'm going to receive the word of Jesus. I'm going to believe what Jesus said. I don't care what the preacher says and what they're telling you on television. I want to hear from God. I want to know what God's heart is like. I want to know him. I want to hear his word. And if it doesn't line up with Jesus and what the apostles taught, I'm not interested. There's a lot of false teachings and false doctrines and things that people have introduced and have been tossed around the body of Christ. And we just repeat it because it sounded right, sounded good, but we never really checked it out. Amen, ourselves. And we get into all kinds of weird stuff. Jesus said a friend knows what he's doing, what his friend's doing. If you have a good friend, you know you can trust that person. You know that you can share your secrets with that person. That's the kind of relationship I want with the Lord. Where he says, here's the man I can trust, and I can share my secrets with him. Isn't that the kind of friendships we look for? People we can trust, where we could bear our heart and know it's safe. That's God. You can bear your heart to God and it's safe. Don't allow your past to dictate your future. Forget what happened before. Know God's heart is good. Even though people have forsaken you, people have let you down, people have failed you, listen to God. God's heart is good for you. He's always good. He's always trustworthy. He'll never hurt you. How can a church that's focused on itself portray Christ to a dying generation? It wasn't for his own gain that Jesus offered himself up. It wasn't for his own gain that he went into the wilderness. It was for you and for me that he did that. Because we failed, he was going to get it right for us. He was going to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil for us. So we would have hope. So we'd have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. What an awesome thing Jesus did. Oh, Lord, let us follow his example. Amen. God bless you. Father God, thank you for all the things you allow in our lives. And for your promise to work all things together for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Thank you for your promise that you'll never leave us or forsake us. Even in the wilderness, Lord, that is actually a place. It's an opportunity for us to grow and to know you. As you will allure us, Lord, into that place where you'll speak comfort to us, comfort to our soul. Where we'll find a rest that we cannot find in this world. We'll find peace that passes all understanding in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. And his right hand pleasures forevermore. Only in him. Let us forsake our ways that we may walk in his ways. Choose life that you might live.